you guys sing with us.
We waited for this day. We're gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're seeing.
With me.
Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, looking to the sky, descending like a cloud. You're standing with us now, Lord, unveil our eyes.
You're the reason.
I've got with me a special little girl, Miss Emily Brack. I always want to try to call you Brock. Brack, I got it. Emily actually lives in Florida, but she's here with us today, and she's getting baptized with us, which is an exciting news. So, Miss Emily, have you put your trust in Jesus for your salvation?
Oh, yeah.
Now, because of that trust, my sister, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Next, I have Jade and Jacob Richardson, obviously brother and sister here. So come here, Miss Jade, let me grab you. All right. Now, if you don't know, it's Alan and Ming are very good cooks, their parents, so yeah. That's why y'all are very special to me for that reason. And because you're now my brother and sister in Christ, which is pretty cool. So Jade, have you put your trust in Jesus for your salvation?
Yes.
Now, because of that trust, Jade, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mr. Jacob, have you put your trust in Jesus for your salvation?
Yes.
Now, Jacob, because of that trust, my brother, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Last but not least, Mr. Makai Lewis. Makai is in the student ministry. He used to be in grade school with me. He was a lot smaller, but Makai has grown. Makai, buddy, have you put your trust in Jesus for your salvation?
Yes, sir.
Now, because of that trust, my brother, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who
How you doing?
Good.
Okay, I'm going to play a little game with you guys this morning. It's one that I'm really bad at, but I'm sure you know it. It's called charades. All right, so we're going to do two charades. First one, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. There you go. Hank Aaron. Good job. Good job. All right, somebody's awake. Come on, let's get these brains moving. I need them to go. Let's go. All right, next one. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
There we go. Okay, good job, good job. So the game of charades, right? Whenever we play charades, we are attempting to get the guessers to guess who we are by what we do. A lot of us treat sharing our faith like we're playing a game of charades. That when we walk out our door, that the unbelieving world is just going to guess, put together the puzzle pieces that that's a nice person, they must be a believer, and then they believe in the gospel. See, maybe some of us have heard the quote, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. Other than the fact that St. Francis of Assisi never actually said that, there's a huge problem with that statement. The gospel means good news, and news requires words to be communicated. Imagine a TV anchor trying to communicate the news with just body gestures. Wouldn't go over too well. So, in our sharing of the gospel, we tend to rely on our smiles, the fact that we're nice, that we do good things. I don't know about you, but I'm not always perfect. You can barely see my smile behind my beard. I don't always do enough good things, and the good things that I do aren't often executed with enough grace to lead somebody to Jesus without the actual sharing of the gospel. Whenever I felt God pull me into ministry, he used Romans 10, 13 through 17. And it says this, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news, who preach the good news. But they have not all believed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. In that passage, Paul works backwards from the moment someone comes to Jesus, when they're saved, and shows us how that whole process took place. Well, they call on the Lord because they believe in him. They believe that they are insufficient for salvation. They believe that nothing they can do can save themselves. They believe that Jesus Christ is all sufficient for salvation. They believe that. Now, how are they to believe that? They can't believe that unless they hear that. And they can't hear that unless someone is preaching. And they won't preach unless they're sent. That is the bottom line. So let's ask the question, are we a sent people? Absolutely. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, Jesus has gathered his disciples together, and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always until the end of the age. As disciples of Christ, as those who claim the name of Jesus, who are saved by his grace through faith, we are a sent people. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, we are ambassadors for Christ. We have been saved out of the domain of darkness and been transferred into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And now God sends us back out to share the gospel that saved us. If my good works won't save me, how can I expect them to save someone else? We must speak the gospel. Live sent, share the gospel, and use words. Let's pray together. Father, I pray, Lord, that if we have lost our wonder of the gospel, that if we have lost our passion for you, that you would restore the joy of our salvation, that you would rekindle our hearts. Help us realize just how lost we are without you. And Lord, then bring in your amazing free grace to show us that you are all sufficient for salvation. And Lord, empower us to go out and to not only live like saved people, but to talk like saved people and invite others into this experience that we have with you, this life that we have with you, of walking by the Spirit, of living by faith in you and your promises. Lord, I thank you for this church, that they are so invested, that we are so invested in training up the next generation. And Lord, when we give to you, and this church is a part of fulfilling your mission. You use Eagles Landing to fulfill your mission in this world of reaching the lost and making disciples. So Lord, as the offering comes today, I pray that you would remind us of that, that when we give, we're not just checking off a box, Lord, that we are helping to further the kingdom of God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This is the gospel, but told in poem form. which is something most of you have probably heard or seen before. So why bring it up again? We get it. Got it? Good. But I bring it up again because it's often misunderstood that the gospel is for the lost, but it is also for me, a born-again believer with struggles and needs. You see, I need to be reminded of what the gospel does for me, of how the gospel sets me free. So for those of you who need to be reminded, for you born-again believers, and for those who've never heard, here it is. Our God is a God of grandeur and majesty. He formed the mountains by his power, and he stills the roaring seas. He calls the flowers to bloom, and he gives color to the trees in the fall. A God beyond words, whose form is pure glory, outside time and space, but involved in our stories. He made us to worship, and we're created to create. He gave us a choice, and we chose our own way. We chose to defy the great God of glory, and we chose to be slaves. Yeah, we thought we were free, but in reality, we were chained, shackled in our own dark, lonely worlds of pain. The problem was we liked it, being sin slave. We could have stepped out in the light, but for some reason we were afraid, because some of us don't understand who he is, and others of us just don't want to be his, because Satan had told us Christ takes your freedom away. But in truth, Christ is freedom. And Satan holds the chains. Stay with me now. We've still got more to say. You see, the well don't need a doctor, but the sick don't call his name, because they don't know that they need him. And blind by pride, they will remain. But when you call to this God of grandeur and majesty, he opens blind eyes. He brings the lame to their feet. He offers something called redemption and freedom for all. It is found in surrender when you answer his call. So trust in his grace and in his power too, because it can change what God sees when God looks at you. Instead of your sin, your iniquity, your shame, he sees his son, Jesus Christ, and gives you a perfectly clean slate. So all that baggage from your past, the nights you wish you could forget, every sin you will do, are doing, and did, are gone forever in the sea of forgetfulness. His love makes us free people. It rids us all fear. I have all I could ever need when my God is right here. My soul is more than full of his love, security, and worth. So come what may, world, I dare you do your worst. Because for me, death is gain. Death is being with my Lord. And the lover of my soul has our heaven in store, but it doesn't stop there, and that isn't the end. You use the life you have left to make his name great. Study his word, share your story. It's just the beginning. To God be the glory, and day by day, step by step, yes by yes, the world will be changed when we follow God's best. But while you're out there changing the world, I gotta warn you, don't forget. Don't forget your first love, the Son, Jesus Christ, because the power of his gospel is the only way, only truth, and only life.
Score.
salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. Sin of heaven, God's own son, to purchase it.
Give me mine. You say that I am. Good morning. Praise God that He gives us a new story in Him, right? Let's give God praise right now. Well, I'm so excited to be here. My name is Christian White, and became a believer here through the ministry of the local church here, and want to share a little bit about my story, but also the prominent role the local church here has played in my life. So I did not grow up in a Christian church, or did not grow up in a believing family. Grew up in a family where I grew up with a single mom. And so I didn't grow up around believing parents who showed me what it looks like to live for Jesus. And religion was all around me. I grew up with seeing churches and people who said they were believers live all around me, but I didn't really see the value that the local church played, or what Christ, the value Christ brought to the life of a believer, until I came to Elka. So just to kind of take a step back, my dad forced me to go to Elka. And I don't know about you, some of you students, some of your parents have forced you to go to Elka, and it was the best thing my dad ever did for me. And so I didn't want to go to Elka because I wanted to go to a great baseball school and wanted to be able to get a scholarship and be successful in that. But it was at Elka that I first saw real, true belief for the first time. Believers that lived with a taste and a flavor in their lives like I'd never seen before. And so there was one in particular, young lady. So you can kind of just get this picture, this jock, used to be a jock, no longer a jock, but used to be a jock. And so you can get this picture of this young, blonde-haired, petite young girl sharing Christ with me like I'd never heard before, and see her live in ways that I'd never seen anyone live before. And so she invited me to the student ministry at Eagles Landing First Baptist. And that's when I really came in contact with believers who really live like family. Believers who really believe and live what they believe. And so the church really became family for me. And I had so many parents and students invested in me. And I don't know about you parents in the student ministry. You may not feel like you connect with students, but one of the things that really brought me to the Lord was parents that were not cool, but really invested their lives in us. And so I knew that even though things at home were a struggle, I knew that I could always come to the student ministry and be received and loved and cared for in ways that I just never experienced truly before. And so I really started to experience church as family, and saw that investment take place in my life. And so what the church had done for me is they really lived sacrificially. They really poured their life into me with little to no return, if ever. And I remember lots of conversations, lots of times that I spent the night over at a student's house, and the parents would just be there to care for me, would just be there to ask questions, would be there to root me on in what I was doing. And so I became a believer through their testimony and through their walk. And so I would just encourage you, parents, if you have a student in student ministry, invest, because it's not just about the growth of your student. It's about you being family for those who don't have a strong family life. And you can really bring people in a way that they could experience the gospel that apart from you, they wouldn't be able to experience. So when I think about my time here at Eagles Landing, I think about 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. It says this, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become so dear to us. What I experienced was a type of love that burned deep in the hearts of believers, that they were willing to share with me not only the message of the transforming gospel, but they even went so far to say, my life is here for you, whatever you need. So they lived the gospel out in front of me in such a way and became family for me. And this idea as church as family has not left me. My wife and I are looking to, with some families, be on mission in Atlanta and see a church planted there. We're really thinking through this idea, what does the church look like as family? What does it look like to love each other with the sacrificial love that Jesus has loved us with? One of the things we're realizing is that when we love each other like this, there is a watching world that is so intrigued by a love that surpasses barriers and boundaries and divides. There is a love that pervades all of those things. And what we're finding is that maybe the most successful or strongest evangelistic tool we have is loving one another out in front of those who haven't experienced the love of Jesus for the first time. We can be the tangible love of Christ. It's crazy how in a world where we have such strong connection with each other, just at our fingertips, whether it's social media, text message, email, some of you are still using Yahoo and haven't moved on to Gmail yet, but we have all those things. We've got Skype, all those things just at our fingertips. And yet studies show that we've never been more lonely than we are today. Maybe the world needs to see something greater. Maybe the world is craving for a type of love and relationship that cannot be forged in our social media, in the way we're doing life currently. Maybe the Lord has placed the church here today for a time and for this purpose to live out the vibrant love of Jesus Christ so that people would come to know him. So we have an unprecedented opportunity as a church. And I think what we see in that is that we were made for more. We were made not just to sit in a seat or to come to worship to see what we can get out of it, but maybe we came here so that we can express the love of Jesus that we have received toward one another. I know for me, that was one of the biggest selling points, is I don't know how you can love me the way you do and not require anything from me. The world needs to see that kind of love. So how do we love each other? How do we become church as family? I love what 1 John 3:16 says. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And so we ought to lay down our lives for each other. Christ modeled the kind of love for us that is generous. You're not going to be more generous than him. He left the glories of heaven to come to earth to die for us. You're not going to be more sacrificial than him. He gave up the rights and privileges of heaven to become a servant before us. And you're not going to outlove him because he obediently, sacrificially gave his life for you and for me. And so in 1 John 3:16, we're called to live that model before one another, that we lay down our lives like Christ did. I don't know about you, but I kind of failed to do that on many occasions. But what we see in 3:1 is that we're not only called to do that, we're empowered to do that as children of the King. We are empowered to love the way Jesus did, with the generous love, giving up everything for one another, sacrificing our very lives that people would know Christ, loving one another in a way to where we would say we don't need anything in return. Christ has called us to that, has empowered us for that. What would it look like for us today to live that kind of love out to one another, to be the local church, not to come to the local church? What would it look like for us to begin to say, I want to come not to fill a seat, but I want to come to express the love that Christ has given to me? What if coming here looked like the motivation was more about what we give than what we gain? Friends, I'm so grateful for the investment the local church has made in my life and the way I've seen Christ's love visible. We have a time now, and we are at the perfect time to make visible what Christ has done for us. And when we do so, we may just be loving someone who would never see Christ if it wasn't for us. Church, I love you, and I'm so grateful for you, and your impact has impacted me greatly. I think 1 Thessalonians 3:8, I now live if you stand firm in the faith. Paul was saying that to the Thessalonians, that their standing firm in the faith determined his life. And what he's saying is, my life and legacy is so wrapped up in you that if you do not stand firm in the faith, if you do not go forward in the mission, my life dies with you. Church, I really believe that you have invested in me in such a way that your life and legacy is wrapped up into what we're doing so that you will be able, through us, be able to reach people in Atlanta that have never heard the gospel because you have taken the time to love me. Your life and legacy goes through me. So I want to thank you and take this time to just say, keep doing what you're doing. Keep loving and be the family for those who don't have family. I love you, church.
I hope this has been encouraging to you, that to see what God's doing in the lives of the next generation. You know, sometimes I think we look at the generation that's coming behind us and we look at the condition of our world and it frightens us. And it is frightening when you see the things that are taking place in the world today. But when you look deeper and see inside the hearts of the students that have been a part of our own church family, that each of you have contributed to and made an impact in, being raised up to make a difference in this world with the gospel of Jesus, you've got to be encouraged by that. And so I just want you to, they're all backstage right now, but let's just give them a round of applause and thank them for sharing in our service today. When Paul was writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, in chapter 2, he said, first of all, this is what I want to see happen. I want prayers to be made for all people everywhere. And for those who are in important positions, those high and lofty positions, kings and leaders. Well, tomorrow, a lot of very important people go back to work. They go back to work in classrooms, teaching. They teach disciplines like how to read and how to write and how to add, how to multiply. Teach about science and history, athletics and the arts. And we have a lot of those teachers in the room today. And every single one of you who have kids that are sending your kids to a school, they're going to be influenced and impacted by those teachers. And I just want to encourage us today in just a minute to pray for them, to follow the instruction of Scripture that Paul gave to Timothy and reminded that we pray for those that are in lofty, high positions impacting others, that they would indeed stand boldly and firmly around the gospel. A lot of these teachers that go back into the public schools are believers who know Jesus. And we just need to pray that they will be fearless in their proclamation of the gospel, unintimidated by the environment, even our own culture in America that's been anti-Christian, but they would stand firm on the faith and live the gospel before those students. And more than those students learning about how to read and write, even those things are important, that they would learn about Jesus, God's love for them. And it would change the direction of our country. And so that's the first thing I want to pray for. Then another thing I want to pray for is for our kids. I want to thank you guys for praying for my family. This is one of those times when Christy and I really see the love of our church family praying for us. Her mom has been battling Alzheimer's for really visibly for about 5 years, a little longer than that. But over the last year, she's declined rapidly and then passed away a week and a half ago. We had the funeral this past week, and her dad's 85. I've told you before, probably witnessed to more people than anybody I've ever met in my life. He is a dynamic witness, but he's 85. And so she's been trying to help care for him. He's grieving, losing his wife of 61 years. And you guys have loved on us, and we appreciate that. And she's been up there for over a month. And we thank God for the privilege of being able to show the love and compassion of God to our own family. And but Mike and Kelly, who had Wyatt 9 months ago, got away for the weekend, so they dropped Wyatt off with Papa on Thursday. Yeah. And so I've been a grandparent parent, you know, since Thursday. That's a lot of hard work. I just want you to know that. I love him to death. We had a blast. And it was so cool this morning, we took him back to the preschool and dropped him off. And he looks at me and starts crying, you know, because he didn't want me to leave. I was like, okay, it's time for Mama to come back home, you know. And I know Mama's ready too, you know. But, you know, I look at, I, yesterday he was playing on the floor. I'm laying on the floor, and he just, you know, I was the jungle gym, just crawling all over me. I was looking at him, and I started praying for him. I said, God, in this world that is so broken, guard his heart with your great love and build into his young life the courage to impact your world with the only thing that matters, the gospel of Jesus. Listen, this generation that's coming behind us, the generations coming behind us, they need to know they can count on us and that we will pray for them. Maybe you've got children going to school. Maybe you've got grandchildren. Maybe you've got children that are in high school or middle school and their lives are really being shaped and they're about to become the next leaders of the church and this world. Listen, the only hope for this world is Jesus. I cannot wait till next week to start preaching through the book of Daniel. I mean, what an appropriate book to start studying. To have courage in tumultuous times like the mighty man Daniel. And he was probably 14 years old when that stuff started happening to him. It's a remarkable, remarkable story. So I hope you'll be here next week. But today I want us to close by praying. I want us to pray for our teachers and our leaders in our schools and pray for our kids and our students and our grandchildren and children. And that God would use them powerfully to impact this world with the gospel of Jesus. And so I want you to join me here at the front and let's pray together. So you come right now. If you've got a kid, you got a grandchild, you got a son going to school, daughter going to school, you're a teacher, why don't you just come to the front? Let's just kneel here at the altar. Let's pray together. Father, we just bow before you and thank you for the great privilege of being able to talk to you, the God of all creation, who holds this world in his hands. You're not just sovereign over this world, you are sovereign in it and everything in it. And we just ask that in this time, in this moment, in the lives of our children and grandchildren, our students and our teachers and our administrators, that you would display great grace, that you would display your great power, that you would help us and strengthen our hearts, give us resolution in the way we live, give us commitment and fuel our every step so that in everything you're glorified and honored and the gospel is held out to this world. God, we do pray for teachers, leaders in our schools that are believers. Especially, we lift them up before you and pray that you would give them opportunities to have gospel conversations, that you would give them courage in their hearts every day to live a life that demonstrates your love and compassion. We pray that you would help them guard their time with you when they can hear your voice through reading your word and you can hear theirs as they pray. And I pray that you would use them this year to touch lives of students with the gospel of hope. And God, I pray for the parents that are in the room today that are raising children. I pray that you would give them strength of heart and character, that every day, Lord, they would be able to stand strong, live powerfully before their children, to show them what it means to be a godly woman, a godly man. God, I pray that you would help them to teach them your word and guide them in their steps. And God, we pray for our children and our grandchildren that are going to school, that are being raised up in this world. The world and Satan himself are warring against their soul, and we pray for your protection and care over their hearts. We pray that you would use their life group teachers, their teachers in student ministry, in preschool, and children, teachers at school, to show them Jesus. Show them who you are, how you work, and the hope of the gospel. And we pray that you would give them even greater strength and power than we've ever displayed in our own lives. Lord, we pray for revival in the land and revival in the world. And we pray you use this generation of children, of students, to do it. And so, God, we lift them up to you. We pray that you work in their life and your work would be obvious. Lord, we give ourselves to you, whatever position we hold, be it parent or teacher, administrator, grandparent, life group teacher, or a friend. And Father, we give this time to you, this school year. Use every day for your glory. And may you be honored as we see your work done in and through the lives of these students. And we'll give you praise for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Listen, I want to encourage you every day, be faithful to pray. Pray for what God's doing and how God's working. And I pray that God will bless you and encourage you. Now listen, we're going to close the service in just a minute with just one more song. And these students have done a great job leading us in worship. And I praise the Lord for them and for how God is working in their life and shaping their life to continue to reach out to the world. And now all of us have been a part of that. Now we ought to sing louder at the end than we do at the beginning, all right? I'm not talking about this song of the service, all right? So we ought to start off singing loud. So let's all stand together. Listen, if you're a guest today, after this song, I'll be out in the lobby at the guest reception. I'd love to meet you. It's been an honor to have you here today, and I pray God has blessed you. But let's sing this together as we go out, and let's worship the Lord and then live for Him all week long.
You guys sing this with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, perfect love is casting out fear. Even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Sing it, sing it. Oh no, you never let go. Through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go. Every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go. No, you never let go.
You guys have a great day.
and live for Jesus.